Open your Bibles here this morning to Proverbs, book of Proverbs here this morning. Proverbs chapter 8, as we work through the book of Proverbs here on Sunday mornings. The title of my message here this morning is Embracing God's Wisdom in My Life. Can I have the mics up just a little bit for me? Just bring them up just a little bit here. Embracing God's Wisdom in My Life. You know, Proverbs. Somebody once said this about Proverbs. They're long on experience, but short on words. That's a proverb. And yes, verse 1 of chapter 8 says, "Does not wisdom cry? Understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the way of the high places, and by the way of the places of the path. She crieth at the gates, the entrance of the city, at the coming, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and that opening my lips shall be right things." Join with me in prayer here this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us a ransom for many, and through his shed blood, that through him we can have eternal life. And Father, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Father, as we look into your holy word that you've given to us, Lord, and our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that grace and truth would fill each of our hearts here this morning. And Father, how much we each need wisdom, God. How much we each need to know the right path in which to take. How much we need to know good from bad, right from wrong, up from down, down from up, God. Lord, we live in a confusing world. So many voices calling here and there, and everyone thinks they're right. But what is right, God? Father, your word is truth. And forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So this morning, God, as we look into your word, give us an ear to hear, God, and may it sink deep into our ears, your word. And Lord, help me to faithfully communicate your word to your people. And help me to glorify your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, bless our time around the Word. May each of us take something home that will help us be better men and women for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Earlier this week, there was a news article in CBN News. And I'd like to read it here to you. A white Black Lives Matter activist got into a heated argument with a group of black and white police officers in Washington, D.C. this week, accusing one cop of racism and being a liar after he told her that he is married to a black woman. "That doesn't mean you're not racist, sir, just because you have one black friend or a black wife," she charged. "You still can be racist. It has nothing to do with your acquaintances." Soon thereafter, one of the black officers chimed in, telling the protester that he and his fellow officers are trying to have a conversation with her, but she has a one-track mind, so there's no point in continuing to talk because she would have to be willing to hear other perspectives. The unnamed protester continued to berate the cops, telling that only white people can be systematically racist. "If it doesn't fit your agenda, then you don't want to hear it," one of the officers said. Then she shifted, telling the black police officer she doesn't believe that their white colleague has actually married a black woman. In response, one of the cops asked, "Why would you assume that because he's white, he can't have a black wife?" Before the conversation devolved entirely, one of the black officers was able to point a biblical truth to the angry demonstrator. He explained to her that the root of the problem in the U.S. and elsewhere isn't racism, but it's sinfulness in general. "America has a sin problem," said the officer. And seconds later, referring to John 14:6, "The world has a sin problem, man, ma'am. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. America and the world has a sin problem. You understand me? That's where racism, injustice, and hate and anger and violence come from. It's not about racism." And he said to her, "Read the Bible." You know, if you would ask that protester, that demonstrator, Was she right? Would she be 100% convinced in her mind that she was right? She would say she was right. But as you read those words and her responses, something goes like this. Because the root of the matter is a sin problem. And the problem we have, God wants to give us a remedy for. Now, God in Proverbs gives us something to help us deal with hatred and violence and sin and unrighteousness and wickedness and cruelty and goes on and on in the world. Because Satan needs an object to indwell. Satan needs a vessel that he can use to promote his kingdom and his agenda. And what has Satan come to do? He's come to kill and to maim and destroy. That's his agenda. And he's going to use people to accomplish it. But God says, wait a minute. I don't want you to go down that way. And I want you to be a victim. And I don't want you to be caught in the snares of his trap. Now, Proverbs 8 gives us the answer. But I want you to turn back to Proverbs 7 just for a minute here. Now, I'm not going to get into Proverbs 7 other than to glean from an overview of what this chapter is. This chapter contains a young man who went down a wrong road, got involved with a lady in the wrong way. And verse 26 says, "For she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men has been slain by her." What does Satan use? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what? The pride of life. And that's what he uses to bring people down. And did you know these chapter breaks are not in the original? Men put that in there. And so if you read chapter 7 at the end of it, and then jump with that idea into chapter 8, chapter 8 starts out, "Does not wisdom cry?" See, God doesn't want us to fail. God doesn't want us to be a victim of the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. He doesn't want us to be a victim of those things. He gives us something that he wants us to have that's available to all. "Does not wisdom cry?" Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom is being able to be discerning about a situation. It's having knowledge combined with wisdom to you make the right application to what you should do. There's plenty of people in America that have plenty of degrees, a lot of PhDs. They're a walking thermometer. They got so many degrees. But you know what God calls them? He calls them a fool. Because a fool has said in his heart, there is no what? There is no God. Can you be educated and be a fool? Absolutely, because you have no moral compass. You don't know right from wrong. You don't know what is God ordained and what is not. Does not wisdom cry? God gives us wisdom. And wisdom is crying out. He doesn't want men and women to fail. He doesn't want us to go down that road. He has a plan and a perfect plan. In chapter 8, verse 1, Proverbs 7, you don't want to be in Proverbs 7. You don't want to be that guy. Proverbs 8 says, "Does not wisdom cry? Understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of high places, where she can be seen, by the way of the place of the pass." Where you cross, where you, she's very visible. Now, you know, God's a good God. If somebody wants to know God and wants to do right in their heart, they have a fear of God and they want to do right, and they cry out to God, "God, I don't know how to handle this, but I want to do right in your sight." You know what I believe? I believe God's going to help them. I believe God's going to somehow give them the wisdom, the understanding to choose what's right. Because God makes it very plain here. If you need wisdom in your life, you got a situation that's painful to you. You got a situation that is tempting you. You got a situation that potentially could bring you down. And God says, wait a minute here. You don't have to fall. What does it say in Corinthians? "There is no temptation taken you, but such is what common to man." But God is what? He's faithful. God's not going to let you fall if you do what? You look for wisdom. God, how do you want me to handle this? Because God's going to put wisdom everywhere around you. Wisdom is in the high places. Wisdom is in the paths, in the street corners when you live your life. Verse 3 says, wisdom crieth at the gates, at the entrance of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Verse 4, unto you men I call. My voice is to the sons of men. You know, do you get the idea that God wants you to have some wisdom in your life? Do you get that impression that God is saying to you, I have some wisdom so that you can have a successful life? You know, if only we knew all the things that God does for us to keep us from falling. You know, it's just amazing if we really think about all the things that God has given to us. Now, God may teach you something today, or he may have taught you something 10 years ago that you may not need for 10 years in the future. But he is just as present 10 years ago as 10 years in the future. But God can give you a nugget of truth, and all of a sudden you're in a situation, and that reminds you what God said. You know, God doesn't want you to fall. God wants us to be successful in our life. And wisdom is crying out. Now, wisdom. This crying out. Now, I want you to look at verse 5. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be of an understanding heart. God left somebody out. Now, in Proverbs, there's four groups of people that God identifies. You have the wise. You have the foolish. And in verse 5 here, you have the simple, the naive. But who did he leave out in verse 5? There's another group in Proverbs he didn't put there. You know who it is? The scorner. Now, what's a scorner? A scorner is somebody, God says something, they understand it, but they reject it. They're a scorner. Now, some people are foolish, you know. Like somebody says, they're a few bricks short of a load, or their elevator doesn't go all the way to the top. They're foolish. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Somebody says, they're not playing with a full deck. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Some people are like they're foolish. Some people are naive. They just don't know. They're just very simple. They're just naive. They're very gullible. You know, if I was to say there's gullible written on the ceiling here, how many of you would look up? Okay, do you know what I'm saying? That's being gullible. You believe anybody somebody tells you. But you know who wisdom is saying? If you're foolish, I got some wisdom for you. If you're gullible, I got some wisdom for you if you're naive. But if you're a scorner, I can't talk to you. You know why? Because you don't have a heart to receive it. See, when you reject God and you push His truth away, do you know what happens to you? You digress in your understanding. You get a darkened mind and a hardened heart. And the thing about wisdom is that you've got to have a heart to receive it. Because wisdom cries, it's there for you. And Satan is trying to manipulate your life to get you to fall and to take you down one step at a time. You know, how crafty is Satan? You ever heard the illustration of a frog in a pot of water? If you increase it 0.07 degrees a minute, that frog never will jump out, and it'll stay in there until it boils and cooks itself. You know what Satan does? He moves you just a little bit at a time, one compromise at a time, and he's got you. And you know what wisdom says? If you're foolish or you're simple, God says to you, I'm going to give you some wisdom here, and he's going to tell you how to watch out for the wiles of the devil. He's going to tell you how to be aware. But if you're a scorner, if you've rejected the knowledge of God, and God has spoken to you and you've rejected, God's spoken, you rejected, it's kind of like this. God's on his throne. He's speaking to you, and you take a step backwards. I don't want to hear it. And God speaks again, and you take a step back. I don't want to hear it. And you take a step back and you keep backing up so far. God's speaking, but guess what? You're so far back, you can't hear his voice anymore. You got a hardened heart. God hasn't moved. You've moved. You moved away from the knowledge of God. Wisdom says, if God puts his finger on one area of my life, I need to deal with that. If God puts his finger in one area of my life, I need to deal with that. That's what wisdom will do for you. Verse 5, oh, ye simple, you're naive people, understand wisdom. You fools, those that don't know better, that get deceived by Satan, be of an understanding heart. Hear, now, that verse 6, that word hear is a lot more than just audibly hearing. Biblically, when that word hear is stated, you know what that word hear means? It means that you hear with understanding and you move with obedience. Now, have you ever had a child that heard you say it's bedtime and they didn't want to go to bed? Did they hear you? They heard you, but did they do it? No. So did they really hear you? Because your request for them to go to bed was implied, I want you to obey me. Biblically, if you hear but you don't obey, you never heard. You never heard at all. And when God says there in verse 6, hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be what kind of things? Right things. Now, America today is turned upside down. You know, people think that killing babies is the right thing to do. I don't know how more upside down you can be in your thinking. Do you see what I'm saying? When you have wisdom, you see things the right way. You see things God's way. See, people that don't hear God, they don't know what's right. And Satan's got them. See, when you hear God and you hear wisdom, I'll speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. For those that know God, for those that walk in the path of God, you're going to hear truth. John 14, 6, I said earlier, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. You know, we need wisdom in our lives. We need wisdom in our lives to understand the ways of God. Verse 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness, says wisdom. There is nothing forward. Now, that's an old English term, nothing perverse. But that word forward carries the image that somebody is like around godly things and they move away from them. You're going forward. In other words, you're going away from the things of God. Somebody that's forward, they once were around the things of God. Now they're moving away from them. There is nothing forward or perverse in them as the ways of God. Verse 9 says, they are all plain to him that understandeth, and write to them that find knowledge. How do you know if you're walking in wisdom? How do you know if you've embraced wisdom? When you read this book and it makes sense to you, it's plain to you. You know, I've talked to people and I've had counseling times with men and I tell them, don't do this. You know, a husband and wife and the man is doing things with another lady he shouldn't do. And I say, you stay away from that woman. And guess what? Next week, they're back together again. I'm thinking to myself, you don't get it. But somebody that has God in their life, that knows God, what does it say? They're all what? Plain to him. They got it. If you're saved and you know God, you got it. And they understand and write to them that find knowledge. When you're walking in wisdom, when you embrace God's wisdom in my life, you know right from wrong and you're going to do right. Well, God exhorts us in verse 10. He says, receive my instructions. Receive my instructions. Now, I want to be a godly man. I want to be a godly woman. I want to walk in truth. I want to receive God's instructions. You know what you have to do? You have to lay down the flesh. What do I mean by laying down the flesh? Is there pleasure in sin? There sure is. And if you are given to pleasures of sin, unbridled lust, it's going to take you down. And God says, receive my instruction. When you receive God's way, you look at the old self, the sinful nature. And then you look at God's ways that are right and pure and good and holy. And you say, I have a choice here. And see what wisdom does. That helps you take the right choice at the right time in the right way. Wisdom will guide you. Integrity will keep you. Receive my instructions. You're going to want to please God. You're going to do what's right in His sight. Is there pleasure in sin? You know, there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for what? A season. Yeah, enjoy your sin. But remember, as one preacher said, there's a payday someday. There's a payday someday, and it's going to catch up with you. I was reading earlier this week about Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and he said, these men that think that they can go on sinning and never be caught, he said, every time you sin, it's like a brick in your life, and you're building a monument higher and higher. And all of a sudden, one day when you're exposed, you look behind yourself, and you see this huge edifice of sin that you have built that everybody sees. Because God says in Deuteronomy, Moses said, behold, your sin will what? Find you out. And so as believers, when we hear instruction, we want to do it. When we hear instruction, we want to be faithful to God because we know we can't outsmart God. And you know what God says? He takes the wise in their own what? Craftiness. People are so wise. You know, if I could call Haman up here today, you know who Haman was? He thought he was pretty crafty, didn't he? And the gallows he built for Mordecai. He thought, oh, Mordecai is going to be on those gallows. But who had the last word? God did. And Haman, when he hung on those gallows, it wasn't good for him. Behold, your sin will find you out. And God always has the last word. God is not mocked. Receive my instruction. Does not wisdom cry? God says, follow me. Embrace the wisdom in my life. Now, how valuable is wisdom? Receive my instruction, not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all that may be desired. Okay, what can be desired? What if you had the whole world and all the riches of it? There's an old saying, the fool and his money soon what? Depart. You can have all the money you want, but if you don't have the wisdom to keep it, it's all going to fly away. And how valuable is wisdom? It's better than all that could be desired, and not to be compared to it. How valuable is wisdom? You know, there's a man in the New Testament. Jesus told a story. He said he had so many goods. He said, what am I going to do with all my goods? He said, I know what I'll do. I'll build a bigger barn. And then I'll say to myself, eat, drink, and be merry. But you know what God said? He called him thy what? Thy fool. For tonight thy soul shall be what? Required of thee. You know, we can think we're doing so good when we're not. And what is more important is not material things, not silver and gold, but wisdom. Be a man of wisdom. Be a man that can tell your young men how to live. That gives them values, that gives them instruction, that gives them a good example. I, wisdom, deal with prudence and find out the knowledge of witty inventions. You know, wisdom is something we should desire more than all the gold and silver in the world. Wisdom's important. You know, our country's under attack today in so many different ways. Our statutes of our history. People wanting to tear them down and tear down our history. You know, our founding fathers had a lot of wisdom when they drafted the Constitution. The wisdom. And you know where they got that wisdom from? Right from the Bible. Our founding fathers, you do research on them, and when they were debating all the different articles of the Constitution and their notes that they had, they were all scripture. So much was scripture woven in through it. I think it was 53 signers of the Declaration had seminary degrees. These weren't men that did not know God. They knew God. And the greatest nation that's ever been on this earth has been America. And where did they get that wisdom from? They got it from the Bible, enduring wisdom. I, wisdom, dealt with prudence and find out the knowledge of witty inventions. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord. Now, if you're a wise person, you're going to fear God. I wish people would fear God the way they fear Corona 19 virus. You know what I'm saying? If they feared God that way, our nation would be a different nation. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If you've embraced God's wisdom, you see the things the way God does, you think the way God's thoughts, you want to hate evil. If God calls it evil, it's evil. And you're going to hate those things. You're going to choose good and hate the evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate pride. I knew a pastor one time. He asked his congregation, how many here, raise your hand here, feel you have humility in your life? And a few hands started to go up, and about the time they went up, he said, and you're proud of it. And all those hands went right down, just like that. So, yeah, the minute you feel you're humble, you can almost start feeling a little proud. But you know how you're walking in humility? When God increases and you decrease. What did John the Baptist say? He must what? Increase and I must decrease. See, humility is seeing the greatness of God and giving him what's rightfully due him. Pride is making God small and you big. Humility is making God big and you small. And when you walk in wisdom, when you embrace God's wisdom, you're going to hate evil. You're going to hate sin. Now, we live in such a culture that you can go and turn on the TV and you can find sin. It would take you days to find sin. Is that true or not true? How about a few milliseconds? Would that be closer to it? Now, I have a question. If you're really walking in God's wisdom, are you entertained by sin? People killing people? Immorality acts? Are you entertained by those things? Because if you are, you're not being wise because it's hardening your heart towards sin. You know, if somebody tells an off-color joke on TV and you laugh at it, you know what that does to you? You just harden your heart just a little notch. Because if you laugh at sin long enough, guess what sin becomes? Not very sinful. Your heart is hardened. You know, when you're walking in wisdom, you've embraced God's wisdom, you're going to hate evil. Pride is going to be an offense to you, and arrogancy. Now, we've all known arrogant people. They look down on everybody. They always have an opinion about everything. Nobody can teach them anything. Their opinion's right. They're very arrogant. God refuses the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And arrogant people are not walking in God's wisdom. Wisdom tells you who God is. Wisdom tells you who you are, and you embrace it. You receive that instruction. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, just the manner of life, and the forward or the perverse mouth do I hate. I won't name any names, but there's some people I just can't listen to. Because what they're saying is totally perverse and untrue. And I think you can think of people like that. Does that grind you when people say things you know is not true, but they paint a picture in such a way to demean other people, make other people look bad? Does that bother you? It bothers God. The perverse mouth do I hate? People that always twist things to make other people look bad. Well, if you're all twisted up on all this, you know what God says in verse 14? He's got a word for you here. In verse 14, he says, counsel is mine. You're in a hole. You don't know how to get out of it. I can tell you what to do. And sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. And that's where we need to go to as God's people, day by day. You know, we need God. We need his counsel. And how do you get counsel from God? Every day you're in God's Word and you're meditating in and you're thinking about that, that's counsel for you. That's going to help you.
to be who you should be.
That's going to help you be who you should be. That's God is speaking to you. God is ministering to you. God is encouraging you. God has a word for you. There's sometimes I've read the scriptures and I needed a word, and that word that day I just happened to be, and that word was for me. And I knew God did that for me. And you can counsel his mind. God says, when you honor my word, I'm going to honor you, and God's counsel can be with you to help you out of a difficult situation. Sound wisdom, wisdom that works. I am understanding. I have strength. And we all need strength for the journey. This chapter, there's so much here. We're only on verse 14 out of this chapter. It goes down to verse 36. Well, God talks about in verses 15 and 16, people, they rule by wisdom. They're godly people that rule, that understand the fear of the Lord. We need men and women that are our rulers to rule in the fear of God and the wisdom of God. In verse 17, I love them that love me, that's wisdom, and those that seek me early shall what? Find me. Seek me diligently, shall find me. Have you found out what wisdom is? If you haven't, make that your quest in life. Find out what wisdom is. God, how do I live my life? Where do I go from here? This and this and this has happened to me. Where do I go from here? What do I do? God's not cruel. He has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. He wants to help you. But you got to seek after wisdom. God, help me do the wise thing. Now, when it comes to making decisions, there's some things people can do. Not to decide is to decide. If you don't make a decision about a decision, that decision is your decision. You decided not to decide. But what God wants you to do, don't be passive in your life, but be active in seeking his face and his wisdom, because he says, if you're active and not passive, those that seek me early, those that seek me earnestly and diligently shall find me. How is your life going? How are you doing in life? Are you a man of wisdom? Are you a woman of wisdom? How are you doing? God has a word for you. If you seek me early, you shall find me. And that's what God wants us to do. You know, he doesn't want us to be in Proverbs chapter 7 and making a wreck of our life and ruining our life. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to honor him. This week, you have it before you. Are you a man or woman of wisdom? There's a lot more. Read this chapter, the rest of it on your own. Creation, the wisdom of God. In this verse, he talked about creation, how God's wisdom was there. The manifold wisdom of God. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God. His wisdom made all these things. In closing, read with me the end of the chapter here. Blessed is a man that heareth me, wisdom, watching daily at my gates, seeking wisdom. Verse 34, waiting at the post of my doors where I dwell, wisdom. For whosoever findeth me, wisdom, findeth life and obtains favor of the Lord. And you've got a choice. But he that sinneth against me, against wisdom, you don't receive instruction, you don't hear God's rebuke, you don't hear God's warning, wrongeth his own soul. And all that hate wisdom, hate me, love death. What is death? Death is separating. You're separated from the blessings of God, the wisdom of God. You separated yourself from those things that could have benefited you. Wisdom. Let's be a man and woman of God this week of wisdom. Let's pray here. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and care for each of us. And may we be men and women of wisdom, God. May we cry out to thee for knowledge and understanding. God, don't let us be a scorner that has rejected the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God. Lord, although some of us may be foolish and some of us may be simple or naive, but God, give us wisdom that we can be wise men, that we could be men of integrity and women of integrity, that we have the blessings of God in our homes, in our marriage. God, don't let us be foolish, God. Don't let Satan tempt us that we fall. God, he's so crafty, and we're so foolish at times, God. We've all played the fool. But Lord, may you give us wisdom and a heart for the things of God. May we hear you and walk in your paths, because in doing so, we shall be blessed of the Lord, and we shall have great grace upon our lives. And for generations to come, we shall bless our children and our children's children, for those that walk in wisdom. So Lord, help us. We're needy people, the sheep of your pasture. Forgive us our sins. And so how willfully we sin against you, God. And yet your mercy is new every morning, and your compassion, they fail not. Thank you for your love for each of us and our foolishness, God. Lord, help us to be men and women of wisdom this week, and to honor you and make the right choices at the right time in the right way for the right motive, to bring glory and honor to you and for your glory and our good, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.